الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: رب صائم ليس له من صيامه إلا الجوع، ورب قائم ليس له من قيامه إلا السحر. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. صدق الله صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. My dear respected elders and brothers, very very fortunate indeed are we that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has once again granted us the opportunity to witness and to benefit from this Mubarak month of Ramadan. Comes in the hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if the people only knew, if the believers knew what there is in the month of Ramadan, they will wish and they would hope that the entire year was the month of Ramadan, or the entire year was Ramadan. In the hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَوَّلُهُ الرَّحْمَةِ. The first part of Ramadan is where mercy is descended. وَأَوْسَتُهُ مَغْفِرَةً. And the second part, the second 10 days of the month of Ramadan, is those days where the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes place. Many people are forgiven, many people are freed of the gunas and sin. وَآخِرُهُ إِتْكُمْ مِنَ النِّيرَانِ. And the last 10 days, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, these people are freed from the fire of Jahannam. Commentators of the hadith explain and they say, in the first 10 days when a person exerts himself in the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he draws from the mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he becomes worthy of the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the second 10 days. And when he perseveres and he continues with his tawbah, istighfar, ibadat, etc., then by the end of the month of Ramadan, towards the last 10 days of the month of Ramadan, he now receives the guarantee and the certificate of freedom from the fire of Jahannam. It all depends on how a person spends his month of Ramadan, how a person carries himself out, how he exerts himself, and how much of enthusiasm he shows towards the obedience to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and towards the ibadat in the month of Ramadan. In fact, in the hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yanzuru Allah ta'ala ila tanafusikum fihi wa yubahi bihi al-malaika. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks at your vying with one another, your competition with one another, in order to do good, in order to excel, and in order to surpass one another in doing good amals. And not only that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks highly of that person in the gathering of the angels, that look at my banda, look at my servant, how he's trying, how much of effort he's making. He's fasting during the day, he's standing up for taraweeh at night, he's waking up for tahajjud salah, he's making dua at the time of sehri, he's making dua at the time of iftar. Look at how much he's exerting himself, so much of the tilawat of the Quran, etc. This is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks proudly of his banda, of his servant in the gatherings of the angels also. This is the month when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he decorates Jannat, closes the doors of Jahannam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decorates Jannat every day in preparation for the coming of that fasting banda of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That eventually he is going to leave behind all the trials of the dunya, and he is going to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and for all the sacrifices and the good that he has done, and showing that obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for him in Jannat such a beautiful place that no eye has ever seen, no ear has ever heard of, and no mind can ever imagine and fathom. But it is important for us to understand that the month will come and the month will leave. Each person, it depends, or has to take it upon himself, depends on his own enthusiasm, depends on how much he is going to exert himself in order to draw from the mercy and the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The very famous hadith that we hear all the time in Talim, and it's often quoted also, when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam climbed onto the minbar once, and on each step he said Ameen. On the first step he said Ameen. On the second step he said Ameen. On the third step he said Ameen. Sahaba Ikram later asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because they were very, very observant of what Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do. So they asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we have noticed that today when you climbed onto the minbar, at each step you said Ameen. What was the reason for that? So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when I climbed onto the first step, Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to me and he said that destruction and most unfortunate is that person, destruction be to that person, and most unfortunate is that person who gets the month of Ramadan but fails to get himself forgiven in the courts of Allah. In other words, he didn't benefit from the month of Ramadan. And upon that, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said Ameen, as though he is putting a stamp on the curse of Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. On the second step, Ameen came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said that woe to that person and destruction be to that person who hears the name of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he fails to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He fails to send durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ulama explain and they say generally in a gathering like this, at least once we should say it is wajib for us to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And on every time that we hear his name, it is better for us, it is preferable for us that whenever we hear the name of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we send durood upon him. And this will bring us greater rewards. For every time that you send durood upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you get 10 blessings and mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that descends upon you. On the third step, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said that destruction be to that person who gains either of his parents, either both the parents or either of them in their old age, and he fails to serve them, and he fails to get the reward and forgiveness through service to the parents. And unfortunately today you'll find many people very neglectful regarding their parents. They don't care about the father, or they don't care about the mother. They feel that if they are just paying the rent and doing some little chores for their mothers and their fathers, they've done enough. We can never ever repay them for the sacrifices that they have made for us. Nevertheless, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, most unfortunate is the person who gains the month of Ramadan, but due to his negligence, due to his complacency, and the don't care attitude, and that free attitude of his, he does not earn the blessings and rewards that he is supposed to have earned in the month of Ramadan. Allah Ta'ala has granted us such a great opportunity. It will be most foolish on our part to remain neglectful of this beautiful month of Ramadan. As we mentioned, that if we only knew the rewards and the blessings and the barakah that descends in this month, we would wish and hope that the entire year was the month of Ramadan. So basically, few things that we have to keep in mind. Basic few amals, the basic responsibilities and obligations that we have. And inshallah, if we keep in mind these few basic obligations and responsibilities, then we will benefit from this beautiful month of Ramadan. The first thing is that we all have to fast. That is farz. That is actually the highlight of the month of Ramadan also. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصوم. Whoever witnesses the month of Ramadan, then it is incumbent upon him, it is necessary, it is compulsory that he must fast. Unfortunately, you'll find that it's becoming a trend amongst many persons on flimsy excuses not to fast. Flimsy excuses they will make not to fast. Ulama explain and they say that if you do have an ailment, you do have a sickness, whatever it is, then you have to get the opinion of a pious Muslim doctor who will say that you cannot fast. His opinion will be valid. You cannot go to a non-Muslim. You cannot go to a non-Muslim doctor and take his opinion because he doesn't understand the value of Ramadan. He doesn't understand the value of one fast, one roza. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding one fast, one roza has said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward a person for one fast to this extent that if you take this whole world and fill it up with gold, fill this whole world, not only this building or this masjid, not only this town or this country, but the whole world you fill it up with gold. The value that it will accumulate, or the value that it will be billions and trillions of dollars or rands, whatever it is, one roza is more valuable than that also. In another hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep you away from the fire of Jahannam to that extent, to that distance, that if a crow has to fly from birth to death, the distance that it will fly, further than that, Allah will keep you away from Jahannam. And commentators of the hadith say that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used the example of a crow because it is one of those birds that has the longest lifespan. And it can fly for very long distances also. So a person who keeps one roza, imagine what great reward there is. It is beyond our imagination. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a hadith a Qudsi said, "As-sawmu li wa ana ajzibi." Fasting is for me and I personally will reward the person for his fasting. Why is fasting referred to as an ibadat solely and only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It is because there is very little riya and show involved in fasting. Nobody can say who is fasting here and who is not fasting. Who had a sip of water just before they came to the masjid? Who had a plate of food? Especially the women folk, they go through a very great test. They are the ones preparing all the food and they are the ones preparing all the savouries. But out of consciousness for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will not even put one morsel of food in their mouth. So this in itself shows how much of sincerity and how much of ikhlas there is in this ibadat and in fasting. Therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "As-sawmu li," fasting is for me, "wa ana ajzibi," and I personally will reward this person for his fasting. When a person keeps roza in the month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has reserved a special entrance for him into Jannat, which is known as Babur Rayyan. No other person will enter that door except the person that fasted in the month of Ramadan. Now look at all these ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What great value there is to one roza, one fasting. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in one hadith, which makes mention of fasting also, but before that it says, "Man qala la ilaha illallah, khutima lahu biha dakhala al-jannah." A person who says la ilaha illallah and his end comes upon that. In other words, he passes away upon the kalima, will go straight into Jannat. See, "Man kana akhiru kalamihi la ilaha illallah dakhala al-jannah." Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever's last words are the kalima, that person will go straight into Jannat. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man sama yawman ibtigha'a wajhillah, khutima lahu bihi dakhala al-jannah." That whosoever fasts even for one day, and his end comes upon that. In other words, he passes away either whilst fasting or just after fasting, after iftar, whatever. But he passes away upon that. He will go straight into Jannat. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man tasaddaqa bi sadaqatin ibtigha'a wajhillah, khutima lahu biha dakhala al-jannah." Whosoever gives a little bit of sadaqah, gives some charity, seeking the pleasure of Allah, sincerely for the sake of Allah, and his end comes upon that, inshallah, he will go straight into Jannah. It comes to mind now, not very long ago, a few months ago, one of our prominent businessmen, This was mentioned by his family members, that he had given some sadaqah to a gardener. Given that sadaqah, then he went to sit on the garden bench and he passed away. Keeping in mind this hadith is so fitting on his last moments of his life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him the jannat. He gave the sadaqah to the gardener, sat on the garden bench there, and his ruh came out, he passed away. And here Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, whoever's last moments is after giving some sadaqah, that person will go straight into jannat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us jannat like that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us an ending like that also. That we leave this world with the kalima upon our lips. We leave this world in a state of fasting. We leave this world after doing some good amals, good deeds. We have mentioned this many a times in the past hadith, where Sahaba ikram used to make dua and they say, اجعل خير أمري آخره وخير عملي خواتيمه وخير أيامي يوم ألقاك فيه. That, oh Allah, make the last part of my life the best part of my life. That as we're getting closer to the qabr, we get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And oh Allah, make the last of my actions the best of my actions. That before I leave this world, I must be in such a deed, I must do such a deed, I must be in such amal or such action that Allah is pleased with me. We should not leave this world in a condition that Allah is displeased with us. Wa khayra ayyami yawma alqaka fi. And oh Allah, let the best of my days be that day when I will stand before you and I will meet you, O my Allah. So as we were mentioning, that a non-Muslim doctor cannot understand the virtues of fasting. He doesn't know the value of fasting. And generally a doctor that is not inclined to deen, he might be a Muslim but is not inclined to deen, and he doesn't know the value of fasting, etc., he will perhaps give you some remedy or give you some advice which will perhaps take you away from fasting, whereas you could have fasted. So you go to a pious Muslim doctor and you discuss your problem with him and let him give you the best of advice, and you will go according to that. But we shouldn't on flimsy excuses leave out fasting. Some people on the excuse of working, some people on little excuses, you know, little, and all of a sudden in the month of Ramadan, everybody's ulcers start. Nobody has ulcers throughout the year, but in Ramadan, ulcers start, and this start, and that start. We are making flimsy excuses not to fast. And it is, and very sad to say, it has become a trend amongst many youngsters who are going to university, etc. They're going to university not fasting. They're not keeping roza at all, not even waking up for sehri. Even if they're fasting, they're breaking their rozas on flimsy excuses. Whereas this Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a person who breaks one roza, or a person who leaves out one fast in the month of Ramadan, even if he has to fast in compensation for it for the rest of his life, he will not be able to get that same benefit and the rewards that he would have got whilst fasting in that month of Ramadan. So let us take heed of this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyamu kama kutiba alal ladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. Remember, fasting should not be regarded as a burden. It is a hukam and a command of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us this institute of fasting, this ibadat. Allah has granted us this, la'allakum tattaqun, so that we may become Allah conscious. A person who fasts solely and only for the pleasure of Allah tends to become very conscious of Allah. We all can see in the month of Ramadan how conscious we are, that whilst we are fasting, we do not want to speak evil, we don't want to see evil, we try to avoid hearing evil. So many homes, alhamdulillah, mashallah, that Pandora box, that Dajjal, one-eyed television is put off. Make dua that you throw it out of the house also, inshallah, and get rid of it completely from the house also. So many homes, they won't even put on the television also. Why? Because they become more conscious of Allah. The fasting and the roza, especially in the month of Ramadan, la'allakum tattakun, you become more conscious and more Allah fearing in the month of Ramadan. Such great benefits to fasting. Every home, there should be the environment of fasting, the environment of Ramadan. From the little boy, little child, right up to the father, the mother, the grandfather, there should be this environment of roza, environment of ibadat and tilawat of Quran in that home. Just like how the masla is, in the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when your child is 7 years old, you must command him to perform his salah. And when the child is 10 years of age, you must reprimand him and make him read his salah. So that by the time he's baligh, and he's mature, by that time salah is part of his life. It is part of his system. He will not miss out and leave out salah. In a similar manner, for roza and for fasting, parents should encourage their children from a young age to start fasting. Alhamdulillah, in our nursery, preschool too, you'll find children fasting. Inshallah, your child won't die. Many parents, unnecessary, you know, fears they have. They say, no, my child won't manage. You already negative from the word go. Be positive. Give your children targhib. Give them encouragement. It is reported in the ahadith, it's in Hayatul Sahaba also, that Sahaba Kiram, to make the children fast, they used to encourage them with little toys, with little items they used to give them when they feel hungry, to keep their minds off the stomach and not for them not to break the fast. They used to encourage the children to fast. So let us encourage our children, reward them if they are fasting, reward them, give them some encouragement, and let them get used to the idea of fasting. It is one of the most important duties and responsibilities or obligations upon each and every believer in the month of Ramadan, that we keep roza and we keep fast. This comes to mind also now, that we should give our women folk targhib, that due to haze and nifas, they have missed the fast of the previous Ramadans or any other Ramadan. After Ramadan, to make qaza of those. Even in this Ramadan, if they miss any of the fast due to haze and nifas, after Ramadan, to catch up with those fasts. Many women folk are unmindful about it. They think it's nothing wrong. The masla for salah and for fasting is different in this matter. Every roza that they miss, every fast that they miss due to haze and nifas, qaza of it has to be made after Ramadan. So we should encourage them after Ramadan, whatever rozas they have missed, that they should keep that roza and they should cover up those fasts. Second very important point is that of being particular with our 5-time daily salah. Imagine on the one side, mashallah, you are fasting, you woke up for sehri, you had a good meal, mashallah, for sehri, but then you jump back in the bed and you go to sleep without reading your fajr salah. What type of consciousness of Allah is that? Understand that just like fasting is farz and compulsory upon you, like that your 5 times daily salah is farz and compulsory. There is no choice in the matter. It's not that you have a choice that either sleep or read. No, there's no choice in the matter. You have to read your fajr salah. So therefore, after the sehri, spend a little time getting ready or tilawat of Quran, whatever it is, and then come to the masjid and read salah with jamaat. Let us become particular with salah of our salah with jamaat. Many of us busy having iftar, you know, having a good iftar at home, and we don't read our maghrib salah. We don't read our maghrib salah. Therefore, it is best. So in order for you not to miss your salah with jamaat, it is best for you that you break your roza in the masjid. Have a khajur date, or if there's other arrangements made, by all means. And you break your fast in the masjid, because many of us are staying far away, so that you can read your maghrib salah with jamaat. So 5 times salah, the men, it is important, it is necessary that you read salah in the masjid with jamaat. Women folk should be encouraged to read the salah on time at home. What a mubarak month. If a person cannot be particular with his 5 times salah with jamaat in the masjid in the month of Ramadan, then how is he going to read his salah out of Ramadan? In this mubarak month you can't do it. How are you going to do it after the month of Ramadan? So let us become particular with our 5 times salah in the month of Ramadan. Then also very, very important is the tilawat of Quran. This is Shahrul Quran. Shahrul Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Quran. We have to, each one of us, have this zeal in us, this enthusiasm to make as many khatams of the Quran as we can. How many we can do, we should do. Those of us that are fluent in the reading of the Quran, set some goals for ourselves and let us make as many khatams of the Quran as we can do. Minimum right of the Quran is that at least 2 khatams of the Quran has to be made for the year. One in the month of Ramadan and one for the rest of the year. That's the minimum right of the Quran. Otherwise, the Quran is going to complain against us. وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. On the day of Qiyamah also, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will complain against us. We all desire and we hope and we want the intercession of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the shafaat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what we hope and we desire for. But imagine on the day of Qiyamah, you standing there, and instead of interceding on your behalf, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is complaining against you. وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ, and the Rasul will say, إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. My people, they had shunned the Qur'an. They had left the Qur'an one side. Will complain against us on the day of Qiyamah. So let us become particular with the tilawat of the Qur'an. Those of us that don't know how to read Qur'an, now make intention in this month of Ramadan, make intention. Make dua, so fervently make dua to Allah, that, oh Allah, let me learn Qur'an. There's so many opportunities, especially in our country. Nobody can have an excuse in our country. There's many ulama, there's many huffaz, there's many persons who are even prepared to teach you free of charge also. They are prepared to teach you. We need to take out the time. It is our need. We need to learn how to read the Quran. It is our need. We need to make that effort. So let us start within this month of Ramadan, try to learn, and it's not difficult. There's many ways of learning, and there's many people that are prepared to teach us also. So let us make it a goal and a maqsad that inshallah we are going to learn how to read Quran. But until we haven't learned how to read Quran, at least open the Quran. Put your finger on the words of the Quran and say that this is the word of my Allah. هَذَا كَلَامُ رَبِّي. This is the word of my Allah. So that some love and connection with the Quran can be created. Also very important is to spend time in making dua. Each one of us to make dua at the time of iftar, at the time of sehri, between the four rakats of the taraweeh, during that time, and any time during the day. It comes in the hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, at least one dua of a fasting person for the entire day is accepted. So any time during the day, my time might be different from your time might be different from somebody else's time, that Allah will accept the dua. It can be any opportune moment during the day that you are fasting, and you made a dua to Allah, and Allah Ta'ala accepted your dua, and you are successful. So we should make dua, we should make tawbah and istighfar. But remember, tawbah, istighfar will help you for hukukullah, for the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in other words, the gunas and sins that you have committed. But when it comes to hukukul ibad, and the rights of your fellow Muslim brother, then there you have to fulfill the rights. It has become so common that people don't pay the debts. People don't want to pay the debts. They don't want to fulfill the rights of the next fellow Muslim brother. They have usurped the rights of others. You have come into some partnership, one partner took down the next partner. He's living a comfortable life, going for umrah, going here, going there. He hasn't paid his partner. But the businesses, they are taking, stock, and they're not paying the merchants. They're going for umrah, they're going for hajj, they're going here, there. The poor merchants are crying. They haven't paid the merchants for the goods and the stocks that they have taken. How you expect your duas to be accepted? You are making somebody cry. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to refuse to perform the janazah of a person who had debts on his head. One janazah was brought. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, does this person have any debts? He says, yes, he owes 2 dinars. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, somebody else perform the janazah. So immediately one sahabi came forward and said, I take the responsibility. I take the responsibility. I'll pay this. So then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed the janazah. And then the one riwayat in the one hadith that I just read, it is mentioned there that after a day or two, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the person, did you pay the 2 dinars? He said, Ya Rasulullah, you only passed away yesterday. In other words, he's still going to pay it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say anything. After a day or two, he asked him, did you pay it? He said, yes, I paid it. He says, now the skin of your brother has cooled from the fire in the qabr. Because until the person remains suspended, his entrance into Jannat remains suspended because of the debts that he have on his head. Once in a battle, the Sahaba were out in the path of Allah. One Sahabi came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if I go out now and I fight and I become shaheed, will I go into Jannat? He said, yes, but yes, you will go into Jannat. Shaheed goes into Jannat. But as he was walking away, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam calls him back and he said, Jibreel Amin came to me now and he said that you will go to Jannat unless you had a debt on your head. If you had a debt and you were owing someone money, until the debt is not paid, you will be deprived of Jannah. So let us become particular about this. There are many persons that are taking loans, taking goods, taking this, and they don't care about paying. They're having fancy lives, pulling out new cars, fancy weddings, etc. And they are not paying the creditors, they are not paying the merchants, etc. So remember, when it comes to making dua, tawbah, istighfar, your gunas and sin, perhaps on the one side, will be washed away. But the hukukul ibad, for that you will still be taken to task. You have to fulfill the rights of our Muslim brothers. So this month of Ramadan, let us make tawbah, fulfill the rights of others. And on the day of Eid, we must be very careful. Person come and say, make maaf. He might be making maaf in his mind. He's asking you to make maaf for what he owes you to. So don't make maaf just like that if you're not going to make him maaf for the debts that he's sitting with. Some people think, I went and I shook his hand and I said make maaf and he shook his head, so everything is forgiven. That's not forgiven. You still have to pay the man. We mustn't become technical and thinking that we will get away with it, because on the day of Qiyamah we will have to answer for it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.